Blog Talk Radio.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe.
Holy Spirit. We are live at 17.
Chicago, Illinois, but we praise God for we have those in various places around the country joining us in this celebration, in this reflection, and in this discovery hour of labors for Christ. As we look to God, we praise Him, and we open in prayer with our own bishop, Dr. Nathaniel Isaac.
Can you hear me or no?
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure. Heavenly
Amen.
Father, we thank you, O God. We thank you. We thank you. God, we thank you. We acknowledge your presence, O God, even in this season of our wonderful lives, O God. We thank you, O God, to be able to celebrate 20 years, O God, as a church and celebrate 30 years of our apostle and all that she is doing, O God, for your kingdom, Heavenly Father. God, we thank you, O God, and we can petition you even now, Heavenly Father, as we know that there is an urgent call for the body to be unified, O God. We know that all that is necessary, Heavenly Father, to try to cause schisms and divide and separate, O God, the people of God. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you and we continue to bless you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the healing that has taken place, O Heavenly Father. O God, you are a wonderful and a remarkable God. O God, as we petition, O God, as we come to you even now, Heavenly Father, we are healed, O Heavenly Father, because we understand what the Word of God says about the healing that is our bread. O God, it is our meat. It is your desire, O God, that this body of Christ will be made whole. And so, God, we thank you for fitly joining the pieces together so those things can happen. O God, we love you even now, O God, and we thank you, O God, for every listener, oh God, that would tune in to even be on site, that would even be listening to this broadcast even afterwards, Heavenly Father. We thank you that something be said, oh God, that will allow them to draw nigh to you. Our Heavenly Father, we desire your presence, oh God, and we understand that we must seek your face, and that's what we will do daily. Oh God, we thank you for all that you are doing within this ministry house, oh God. We thank you for the apostolic voice and the prophetic voice, oh God. We understand through Scripture that you said that your revelations, your mysteries are revealed through the apostles and the prophets. So we lift them up, oh God, before you even now. Oh God, we thank you, oh God, that they will never, ever compromise under any reason, oh God, what you have given them to reveal to people, oh God. How can we live without knowing the mysteries that is given to them, O God? How can we move forward? For you have said that a man can live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. And so therefore, God, continue to speak revelations to them even now, O God. Thank you, O God, that the words that bring life is transforming them even now, O God, and is allowing us to transform. And so we keep every prophetic voice lifted up to you, O God. We thank you for every angel giving them charge over, O God. May they spread their wings, O God, and protect them from every dart. We thank you for every trial, O God, that is arriving even now, O God, that is helping them to be steadfast and unmovable in you. Thank you, O God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, O God. You are making us into your image, O God. We don't want anything in this world, but we desire the more of you. Nevertheless, that's what Christ said. And so therefore, let your will be done, O God. Allow us, O God, by our flesh so that we, O God, can just be able to have you move in our lives in ways that has never been moved before. O God, we love you, O God. We bless you, O Heavenly Father. We thank you even now, O God. We just thank you, O God, and we always will lift you up even now. We thank you for every teacher ministry, O God, that will avail themselves to the teachings of this house, God, and able to that at least by the apostles and the prophets, O God, so that the people of God would not starve and be able to their daily bread and their and be able to live in their right communities, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for the men and the youth, oh God, and every structure and component.
Mercy, oh Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Continue in prayer. Hallelujah. The enemy doesn't want us to unite in prayer, but we are united in prayer, and we thank you, oh God, that you say, well, two or three are joined together. You are in the midst. We thank you, oh Heavenly Father, and we praise you. We worship you, oh God. We worship you. And we continue. We continue
thank
in
you.
Prayer. With this.
Oh, God,
hallelujah.
We thank you even now.
Hallelujah.
We thank you even now, Heavenly Father. Oh, God, thank you, Heavenly Father. And so, therefore, we must proclaim even harder. God, you are a great God. You are awesome, oh, God. And we can brag about the accomplishments and the things that you have done. There is none like you in this land, oh God. You are a God that just created us. You created this world and every component and every aspect of it, oh God. You know it, oh God, intensely, intently. You know every detail. For you have proclaimed that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, our Heavenly Father. And so therefore, oh God, we brag on how great you are, how great of a God you are. We don't need 10,000 tongues. We have the one, and we will use it because it is just as mighty as a ready writer. And so therefore, Heavenly Father, we love you, our Heavenly Father. We thank you, oh God, that as we draw nigh to you, oh God, as we indulge and just dive into your word and your teaching, oh Heavenly Father, that peace will be released. God, you said that it was a gift that was given to us. You said peace you leave. And so may we be able to live at peace on a daily basis, oh Heavenly Father. May our troubled and turmoil soils and souls, oh God, begin to cry out to you that we need more of your peace even. Oh Heavenly Father, you are a God. How mighty you are, how mighty your works. Oh, God, you are more than just fascinating. We sit in awe. Oh, God, teach us to listen, oh, God, in this hour. Teach us to hear your word. Teach us, oh, God, to be able to decipher every message that you're releasing even now to us, oh, God. Thank you, oh, God, for speaking into our hearts. We are asleep. Heavenly Father, you still speak, oh God. May we be able to receive it and just be open as receptors and for every download that is going to make us wonderful. God, you are just awesome, and there's none like you, oh God, in the face of this universe, oh God. So I thank you, oh God, that you have laborers, oh God, in this time, in this hour, in this last day, oh God, to be able to be vigilant soldiers, oh God, to stand up, oh God, and receive all that you have given so that we can change the face of this earth, oh God. You say that the earth continues to moan and groan for your sons and your daughters, oh God, and so we are they that will stand up, oh God, and just proclaim, oh God, and break, oh God, the shackles of every iniquity that's been passed down, oh God. We understand that we are not held back from that Garden of Eden, oh God. There is no flaming sword that is keeping us from entering into your garden because we recognize that we bear the image of Christ and we are covered by your blood. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you even now. And so, God, again, oh God, we thank you for the 20 and the 30 years of this ministry, oh God, that is going forth even now. Thank you for the special blessing that you will release upon the apostle even now, oh God, as you continue to answer her heart's desires, oh God, because you have put them there, oh God. And we thank you that we can humbly feast on what's being poured down from the head of Heavenly Father. Oh God, we even pray for the people in Israel even now. We know that you have a special burden for those individuals because you have established a covenant, oh God, amongst yourself to Abraham, oh God, that those are your people and your name will forever be in Jerusalem. And so as they are surrounded by scavengers, oh God, and hunters and those who want to just ravish the country, oh God, we thank you that you have set up, oh God, borders around of protection. Israel will never have to ever worry about them being taken, oh God, and being thrown under a rock because you are their God. But we pray for them they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord, our Heavenly Father, that they will be able to feast on the revelation. Their hearts desire peace. May they know the Prince of Peace and the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings.
Yes.
Oh, God, that is our hearts, the prayer for our brothers and sisters over there, oh, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
So, God, continue to have your way, oh, God, in this spiritual life and growth and development of Heavenly Father. We pray, oh God, that individuals will develop. I thank you for the thirst of the people, and I pray that the thirst, oh God, will not be quenched by anything other but you. And so, God, as they will be thirsty, oh God, and let those things go, oh God, and thirst of your word, oh God, and your power, oh God, we thank you for them now, because they'll be transformed into your image, oh God. We thank you, oh God, on how you are preparing this house and this body, oh God, even after 20 and 30 years, oh God, to be able to move into other things and to be able to have conversations, oh God, and to be able to allow our life, oh God, to be a living testimony, to be a living epistle, oh God, that they can read, oh Heavenly Father, and that they would question, what is it about you that makes you different from who I am? And then may we be intelligent enough to be able to articulate gospel, oh God, with accuracy.
Yes.
As you said, rightly divide the word of truth. So I thank you, oh God, and I thank you for every partner that will partner themselves up with the ministry even now, oh Heavenly Father. Oh God, we pray for those.
Yes.
We pray for men, oh God. We pray for marriages, oh Heavenly Father. And we thank you, oh God, for that they're even being attacked, oh God, to get them to think differently about the institution, oh God. But we know, oh God, we know, oh God, that you are the third strand within a relationship. And as a result of that, a strand cord is not easily broken. And so for it is established, oh God, I pray for the men, oh God, that they will be begin to know who they are in you and to walk accordingly, O God, and set their house in order, O God, and may that order, O God, that is established in their house begin to spill over into the house of the Lord, the Heavenly Father. How can a man take care of the house of the Lord if he cannot take care of his own house? And so, therefore, Heavenly Father, thank you for releasing that even now, O God. Thank you, O God, for every church, O God, and Vegas, oh God, and Washington, and Florida, and Ohio, and North Carolina, and Virginia, and even across seas, and Alabama, and India, and Africa, and the Philippines, and, oh God, wherever, and the churches that are to come, we thank you even now, oh God, there's still none like you, and so God, we ask for a special blessing, oh God, upon this house, oh God. And we thank you for every word and prophetic word that was released, oh God, over this house, oh God. And we receive it, oh God, and we will wage a good warfare until it comes to pass, oh Heavenly Father. So thank you for the people you are raising up in this season, oh God. Oh God, put a new fire within our bosoms, oh God, that we can go and take the land, oh God. Allow us to be like Joshua and Caleb and bring back a good report and grapes and milk and honey. And so, God, we bless you. You have in all things, in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Pastor?
Yes, if I can just say before we pray, you know, the impact that it makes when the established order of a man leading in prayer in this house, the impact that it makes, the change, even in the spirit realm, you know, and then as the spirit man that is within us recognizes that which is in control and in authority, and then for it to be one of the leaders of the church, for it to be bishop, no matter where they are geographically, you know, but they can send that establishment. And so, God, we just honor and praise you. We thank you, Father God, and we worship you. Our souls long for order. Our souls long, Father God, for structure, God. Our souls long for your perfect provision, for your way, God, in the name of Jesus. Our souls long, Father God, for your presence to rest, for your authority, Father God, to rule. God, in the
name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God. And then with humble and grateful and joyful spirits, we fall submission to the authority of this house of Labors for Christ, Word Life Center in Chicago, Illinois, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for that which you have established, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that which you have spoken, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, that because a thing was established, because it was followed and we were obedient, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for the rain that will come, Father God, as a result, Father God, and in blessing and in response to our obedience, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you for the word that came from Virginia, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we send it on divine assignment, Father God, to the north, the south, the east, and the west, Father God, in the name of Jesus, beyond this continent, Father God, beyond this natural realm, but into the spiritual realm, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, we seal that word with the blood of Jesus, Father. Oh, God, we worship you and we honor you, God. We thank you. God, our souls thank you, Father God, for filling us, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Our souls thank you, Father God, for meeting that longing and that desire, Father God, that we had inside of us. Thank you that heaven heard our cry and responded in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you have given us the invitation to serve the truth and living God. And so we glorify you, Father God. We honor you, and we thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you that heaven is responding and rejoicing, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that our destinies are sealed, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for the manifestation of your purpose in this time, Father God, now in this hour, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We honor you, God, and we glorify you. We worship you, Father God, and humbly, God, we cry out to you, saying, thank you, God, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, we love you and we worship you. You know what we need, Father God. Thank you for imparting in us the desire and the longing for you. And then thank you for being faithful, fulfilling it, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, that you didn't allow us to sit thirsty and dry and desolate, Lord God, but you picked us up and you filled us with your spirit, God. And so we glorify you, Lord God, and we honor you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. God, we thank you for the joy that comes with obedience. God, we thank you, Father God, for the joy, Father God, that comes in serving you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for the joy that comes with this walk, Father God, with this relationship with you, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you that, Father God, the fire that ignites this joy will never be put out, God, in the name of Jesus. It will never go dim, Father God, in the name of Jesus. But let the oil that flows from our worship keep it alit, Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, we glorify you, Father God, and we honor you. We thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Now we pray, Father God, for praise and for worship, Father God, that will be birthed, Father God, out of this place of joy, out of this place of obedience, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for change, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for change, God, in the name of Jesus. We sow change for change, God, in the name of Jesus, expecting that new thing to arise up in us, Father God, in the, not just us, in not us individually, but collectively as a ministry, Father God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord God, as a family, as one body, fitly joined together, Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for the shift that takes place, Father God. We thank you, Father God. We acknowledge your presence, God, and we don't just acknowledge it. We fall submission to it, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Father God, that you would arise in this, in the name of Jesus, and the enemies to Labors for Christ, Word Life Center, shall be scattered, Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, we glorify you and we honor you, Father God. We stand unified, on one accord, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that we could be sporadically spread out through the U.S., God, in the name of Jesus, but you have fitly joined us together, and we still shall be one, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for the mighty works that will come from the hands of those who are planted in this soil, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that your word says, and as we have recited, Father God, and as we have decreed, Father God, that those to be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, Father God. So we thank you for inviting us into the court, Father God, where our flourishment, Father God, happens, God. In the name of Jesus, we glorify you that if we are positioned in any other place, Father God, we may look like a drought, God, in the name of Jesus, but thank you for inviting us into your court, Father God, into a place in which you've caused to be prosperous, which you've caused to flourish, Father God, and so we call it forth now, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for this season, for this 20th year church and 30th year ministry and 10th year apostolic anniversary and journeys, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And now, God, we thank you, Father God, for that which you have taken us. And thank you, Father God, that this doesn't seal it, Father God, but you yet have another set of doors for us to walk through that you have opened and you have ordained for us to together walk through, Father God, in the name of Jesus. So we thank you, God. Hallelujah. We honor you and we glorify you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. God, we thank you that that which is released in this house, Father God, will be digested, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. In the name of Jesus will be nourishment for our souls and for our spirit, Lord God. God, we glorify you and we honor you, Father God, that you don't have us planted in a place, Father God, that doesn't release fresh rhema word, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Open our ears that they may hear, Father God, that which you are saying to the church, Father God. In the name of Jesus, God, we glorify you, God. We honor you, Father God, that you have given us an ear to hear, not the chattering voices of the people, Father God, but you've given us an ear to hear that which your spirit is saying to us, Father God, and let us be attentive and thirsty to hear that which you have to say, Father God. Oh, God, we glorify you, Father God. We don't just want to hear it, but may it be imparted into us and planted in us, Father God, and then bring forth a harvest from us, Father God. God, from our bellies, let it flow rivers of living water, Father God, for that which you have poured into us, Father God. God, we thank you and we glorify you, God. We honor you and we worship you, Father God. Oh, God, this journey, Father God, that you have taken us on, our heart rejoices in it, Father God. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we long to continue to be in your presence, Father God. There is no place, Father God, that we desire to be, Father God, but that in your presence, Father God, worshiping you and honoring you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, preparing for the release and the manifestation of your will and your plan and your way, Father God, in us, Father God, and through us, upon us, Father God, as a body fitly joined together, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Father God.
Hello.
We come against, Father God, chattering voices. We come against discontentment, Father God. We come against disconnectedness, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and that we would long for you. We would seek you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. We bind every mouth, every word that has been released over this ministry that is not lined up with you, and we thank you that you will turn it and make it work for our good, Father God. Thank you that you said you'll call our enemies to be our footstools, Father God, in the name of Jesus. But then we thank you, Father God, that you've also called us to love and to bless and to pray for our enemies, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And so we thank you, Lord God, because their fight is not, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And so we thank you, Father God, that it is not our physical man that they are after, Father God, but the purpose and the destiny on this ministry. And we thank you that you've already called us victorious, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And so we glorify you and we honor you, Father God. We praise you, Father God. God, we pray for the time that we lost and the resources that were lost and stolen and even forfeited. God, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this time, this season of restoration, Father God, of hope and joy and peace and of love and of worship and of the word and of the experience and encountering encounterings with you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. Oh, those that are lost or scattered, Father God, that have been shattered, thank you that you are drawing them together, Father God, and even those who you caught, Father God, for those pieces to exist no more, God, we thank you that you strengthen that which remains, Father God, in the name of Jesus, in their lives, Father God, that the body of Christ would experience no lack, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for the voice that you are restoring, the strength and the courage and the joy and the love in the voice of this ministry, Father God, that we will be a voice and not an echo, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you that that which will resound from this place, Father God, will be a spirit. That is what will flow from this place, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And so we send the words, Father God, to those connected to us, Father God, to come home, Father God, to return back to their first love, God, in the name of Jesus. Those who have been lost at the hand of our words, Father God, and of our attitudes and our dispositions, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God. Thank you that you will restore the love, Father God, in the name of Jesus, the unconditional love, Father God, the agape love, Father God, that you have spoken over this place, over this ministry, God, in the name of Jesus. And we honor you. Thank you that you'll restore the prophetic words, Father God. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you speak life back to those things that were forfeited because of fear, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that were forfeited, Father God, because no one stood on the wall, no one covered that word. Thank you, Father God, for just the blood of your son Jesus covered it. And now, Father God, we repent, God, in the name of Jesus, and heaven will open and release, Father God. God, open the flood, God, Father God, let it flow back to us, God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. Thank you that stewardship, Father God, thank you that you'll restore tithing to the house, Father God, offerings to the house, Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, thank you, Father God, that which the body of Christ needs. God, we thank you that you'll restore the authority that this house stands in this building, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we glorify you both naturally and then spiritually in this community, Father God. And we thank you. We honor you, Father God. We glorify you, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for the fruit of this obedience, for the fruit of this restoration will be, Father God, healing and restoration and wholeness, Father God, in the body of Christ, God. We thank you for the anointing that flows, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we honor you. Lord God, and we worship you, Father God. We thank you that we will have ears and ears to hear and hearts to receive the ministry that will go forth tonight, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Open our eyes to see and our ears to hear that which we need, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for that which you have placed us in, Father God, the soil, and you spoke it, so you caused it to be prosperous, Father God. You called it to be healing and nurturing, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And so we thank you, God, you spoke to it, and now let it yield the fruit, Father God, that we need. Now let it yield the resources. Now let the resources that we need spring up from it, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. We love you and we honor you. We praise you and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yeah. This morning in meditation, I was reading about the Shunammite woman and how it had been prophesied that she would have a son. And the whole scenario of it, the son died. And she puts the son in the room where the man of God sleeps. The prophetic word, she puts it in the room where the man of God sleeps because it looked like the prophetic word had died. She didn't say anything of what she saw. She just put, hear me, she put the prophetic word in the room. She could go to the man of God and say, look, the prophetic, she never told him that her son had died. She just put him in the room. Hi, yes, okay. You know what I'm saying? And when I'm hearing the Lord saying, I kept looking at that and saying, God, why is this stirred in my spirit? And when the woman of God was praying and she was talking about the prophetic words that have been spoken over the house, God said, don't put your mouth on the prophetic word. Put it in the room. yeah, God. Because he's getting ready to speak life. Come on, somebody. My God. He's getting ready to speak life to a word that looked like it had died. My God to glory. Somebody needs to hear me. And so, God, we just thank you now that you are beginning to speak to the word, the prophetic words that look like they died. But we refuse to speak that it's dead. Every prophetic word that looked like it died, God, we now tonight bring it before your presence that you will begin to speak life to it. And the man of God went in the room. He kept asking her what was wrong. She kept saying, all is well. All is well. All is well.
Yes.
And then he went into the room where the word, the prophetic word that looked like it had died. I have to keep saying that. That looked like it is that somebody on the line, somebody in this room, a prophetic word was spoke, and it looked like it has died. But God is saying that on tonight, as we come before him, everything that looked like it has died, he's going to, seven times. That's what I heard. He sneezed seven times. Seven times representing completeness. And so we just speak and we thank you, God, for your word on tonight, God, that will not return unto you void, oh God. We speak now in Jesus' name, and we thank you that it is so, and so it is. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you,
Jesus. God's will. Father, thank you that you are instructing us in the way we should go and that you are guiding us with your eyes. We thank you that in your guidance and leading concerning your will, your plans, and your purpose for our life, we do hear the voices, the good shepherd, for we know you and we follow you. You lead us in the path of righteousness. For your name's sake. Thank you, Father, that our path is growing brighter and brighter until it reaches the full light of day. As we follow you, Lord, we believe our path is becoming clearer each day. Thank you, Father, that Jesus was made into us wisdom. Confusion is not a part of our life, and we are not confused about your will for our life. We trust in you, and we lean not into our own understanding. As we acknowledge you in our ways, you are directing our path. We believe that if we trust in you completely, you will show us the path of life, able to give to those in need in your strength. And according to your grace, we provide for ourselves and for our families, Lord. We thank you, Father, for making all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to us in abundance, that we will have all sufficiency. And it may abound to every good work. Father, we thank you for the ministering spirit that you have assigned to go forth to bring in consumers. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And in his name, our light shall so shine before all men that they may see our good works and glorify you, our Heavenly Father. Thank you for the grace to remain diligent in seeking knowledge and skill in areas when we are in experience. We ask you for wisdom and for the ability to understand righteousness and justice and fair dealing in every area and relationship. We affirm that we are faithful and committed to your word. Our life and business are founded upon its principles. Father, we thank you for the success of Labors for Christ Word Life Center, Labors for Christ Ministries, Labors for Christ AEN, and all the ministries that we are combined with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Well, Father, we thank you and we bless you. We honor you and your process. We bless you for these, your people. We thank you for the anointing that you release upon them individually. And then, Lord, we bless you for what the anointing looks like in the body. So each anointing, as it is joined with anointing, we thank you for the impact of that. God, we bless you that every person is a necessary part in this process. And so, Father, we pray that we would come to understand your purpose for us. We would come to understand the reason that we are anointed the way that we are anointed, and how you desire and how you have purpose to use such an anointing. Father, we pray, Lord, that you will continue to pour out and rain upon us, Lord. God, we pray for a saturation in this season, a complete saturation of your presence, of your spirit, of your purpose. Father, saturate us. God, we pray, Lord, that you would saturate us. Father, we thank you, Lord, even for the of where we have, it appears as if we've been in a drought. God, I thank you for those seasons, because it just means as you pour out upon us, Lord God, that the intensity of the saturation will be even greater. And so, Father, thank you for every scenario, every situation, every opportunity that will be before us, Lord God, for you to wring us, Lord God, so that that which you have saturated us with can be released upon in the earth and upon your people, Lord. And so, Father, we ask, Lord, that you would cleanse us so that we would remain usable for you, Lord God, that you would sanctify us, and then most important, Father, that we would position ourselves in such a way, Lord God, where we would not see You would not see us, but you would see the blood of Jesus. We would be positioned in such a way where we wouldn't look or even think that we could take credit for what you're doing. We would be so in awe with the fact that it is you, you and you alone. Mm-hmm. So we just bless you, God. Thank you, Lord, for these 20 years for laborers for Christ, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for every second of every moment of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year. Thank you for all of those that you've allowed to come through the doors, that you've allowed to be a part for short seasons, for longer seasons, if but for a moment, those that were transients, and those that you allow to not just be a part, but to make an impartation. We thank you for that, Father, and we bless you for it. We love you, and we appreciate that which you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we appreciate the opportunity to be able to come to you again this week to be able to share the process and the journey. We have been having fun with this synoptic gospel type of sharing, realizing that it's the same journey. It's just seen through different eyes of anointing. And so thank you. We appreciate every eye that's been anointed to see, and then for every eye that's been anointed to see, and then script and write or speak into this process. We appreciate it, realizing that a lot of times people see the journey, but God doesn't let them speak to or on behalf of the journey. And then there are those that will see the journey and they are part of the journey, and that's what they get to do. But then there are those that will see it and they're part of it. They'll speak it. They'll write it. It becomes a part of who they are. And so we, and just recognizing that, we're excited about what that looks like on all sides. So I believe that when we concluded last week, we were in transition from Toledo, Ohio, to Chicago. And so we're at this point, I'm sure some things have been left out, but we have another 25, 30 years. I'm continuing to document that. Amen. So we can see ourselves in Toledo. I think that, go on over here. Were you saying something?
I was going to say there may be some people on the line that have insight into those early years that may want to share as well. Your lines are open. Take your phones off speaker and feel free, please, to share.
Praise God. Glory to all.
Amen.
All that he is and all that he's doing in our lives. I thank you, Father God, for allowing me to be part of this ministry. It's been a truly has been a blessing. This is a evangelist who in Cleveland, Ohio. I am Apostle's niece, auntie, and she's my niece. I'm an overseer's sister. Praise
Amen.
God for all of you on the line and your ministry, your work and your journey. It's been an inspiration to me and some of my family, and I do appreciate you down through the years. I regret not being able to participate all the time, but you've always been in my prayers, and you have influenced me in many, many ways, and I thank God for you. This is another blessing because when overseer asked me to speak or did I have anything to say, and I prayed about it, and it's a revelation. It's just beautiful how God works with us to reflect on Apostle's journey. It blessed my soul. As a child, Apostle was sort of like a rebel rouser. She was defiant. She didn't let nobody pull her down or break her spirit. To be blunt, she fought all the time. She fought in school. She fought on the way home. And believe it or not, she fought with her mother. And it's just amazing how Overseer tried to break her, but Overseer couldn't either. She couldn't do anything with Apostle. And it's amazing how through the journey, through her life in school, in high school, and in college, the only person that could break her spirit was our God. And he broke her down. She had a divine calling on her life from an early, early time. She was a born leader, believe it or not, because you to be a leader, you have to have a strong will. And God took that will and turned it out to work for him. That means she's a true soldier. She will fight for the Lord. And there's nobody that can change her mind. And it's a blessing because when I saw her growing up, all I saw was a defiant young lady, a defiant child, and could not. And it's amazing how God saw more into it than we all did. We couldn't imagine where he was taking her. So we would praise her. We prayed her, my mother, my father. And it was just it's just something how the Lord used her and is using her right now. And all of her qualities that she had as a young child was all for his glory. She probably didn't see it either. All she knew was that there was nobody on this earth that could break her spirit. And she let you know that. I praise. I thank God for that revelation. I even spoke with some of the other family members, and we all come into agreement. And spiritually, how divine the calling was on her life, and none of us saw it. And I just thank God for right now, how he has opened our eyes, and how he's led her, and how she's being a fierce warrior for the Lord. And I thank God for her. She has the anointing on her life to touch other souls. It's just amazing. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. He takes what we see as rags and whatever, our worst. We see the worst of people, but he knows he sees the best because he made us. He knows all about us. And he takes that part which we see as being bad and turn it in to glorify him and for his work. I had a scripture to read. As I said before, a lot of the couple of family members also gave me input into this. I didn't do it all myself, but I want to thank them for their input. And it's just been awesome. It's just awesome. We love you, Apostle. I wanted to read a scripture before I shut my mouth. let's see. Let's look at Romans 8, 27 in the AMP version.
8:27. Just a minute here. Almost 8. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the spirit is, because the spirit intercedes before God on behalf of God's people in accordance with God's will. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose, for those whom he foreknew and loved and chose beforehand, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, and you ultimately share in his complete sanctification, so that he would be the firstborn of the most beloved and honored among many believers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, declared free of the guilt of sin, and those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity. Thank God for you, Apostle. Keep looking to the Lord for your strength, and he will continue to bless you and bless those that you encounter. Thank you.
Amen. What a surprise. I wasn't expecting that, but it is interesting. Once I heard her voice, I had to come in my office and look for this Bible. Because when we look at part of the journey, some of the weirdest things really is not, I don't want to call the Bible weird, but it seems odd to me when I graduated from high school, preparing to leave Cleveland to Toledo, that they gave me a Bible. We grew up in a Christian home. I mean, it wasn't like a Bible was something I wasn't familiar with. But they gave me this Bible, this large print Bible, and it was the thing that through my difficult years of college, I'll call them those, during the exploration season of college, how's that? That Bible was the one thing that never left me. It went wherever I went. It didn't do what I did, but it definitely was an eyewitness to all that I was doing. But it was a saving grace. People go, really? Are you going to, you know, get high? Are you really going to, you know, be having sex? You going to really do all of that? Fight? Whatever you're doing, you going to really do that with this Bible? It was like, oh, I can't let this Bible leave me. And so I believe that it's interesting because the Bible talks about the word that he has in our heart. And so while that word is in my heart, I am so reminded of the tangible word that accompanied me that, and some may not believe it, but redirected, spoke to, you know, you need to be doing something different. And I don't know if anybody's ever been in a place where they're doing what they know they're not supposed to be doing. And, you know, the Bible talks about a way of escape. And then you look and you see the way of escape because you see the literal word there. You know what's in that word because by high school, I'm sure we had read, by the time I went to college, I'm sure we had read the entire Bible a few times. So you know what was in it. And so it was that Bible that my aunt gave me that was a constant reminder, you know a more excellent way. You know the answer. You know what's in it. It was the Bible that Overseer used in my early years to say, are you really calling that lie? Are you really sinning like that? Go to your room and tell me what the Bible says should be the punishment for that kind of sin. And so I was raised on the word like that. And so just sitting here being put in remembrance of that as I was just speaking with someone earlier, that sometimes my delivery can be harsh. And I was like, well, you know what? I think God raised me to be harsh. And Holy Spirit just reminded me, no, you got that harsh word, or you continue to get the word uncut like that because your behavior required that. And so that
change the behavior. So just being very aware that it is the word, and the word works. And so whether it's being given to you, you know, overseer, preach the word to us, like go in there and see what's in the word, or whether somebody hands you the word, like, okay, use this word, and don't let it depart from you, don't forget it. Whatever it is, the word works. And so as we instill that word in people, and I think that very much characterizes what we do in ministry. But the Bible says, what does the Word of God say? Eat the whole scroll, okay? So that those are things that characterize who we are as a church, who we are as a ministry, extremely, extremely word-based. It is the Word from beginning to end, from sun up to sundown. And yet realizing that while it is the word, it must be full of grace and just seasoned with thought. And realizing that I would have a propensity to be full of thought and sprinkled with a little grace. So that the things around me, as Evangelist Poole put it, won't have the ability to try to break me. So I so appreciate that insight. I don't know if there's someone else on the line that Overseer wants to give the opportunity to speak, but I just wanted to be able to share that. So thank you again. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
We can go forward, so it's Papa.
Overseer, I didn't hear you.
You can continue your journey. And
I believe that we are in Chicago and just seeing the miracles of God as we have as Holy Spirit has led us to Moody, and we are there as Moody has become an institution of prayer for me. As I have gone through at that point when I believe we left off last week, I'm the first of two brain surgeries, and just watching an environment that loved conditionally become an environment of unconditional love. Moody was a phenomenal example, turned out to be a wonderful example of forgiveness, because oftentimes we're in relationships with people who don't understand us. They don't know what to do with us. They can't deny your existence or deny your gifting or deny your anointing, but they don't know where it fits or if it fits. And so they don't always know what to do with it. But during that season of that first brain surgery, Moody positions themselves to be a place of prayer. I am so reminded of the continual prayer visuals that they had until I went through surgery, came out of surgery, and then those that said, look, we will pray. We will maintain a posture of prayer until she is healed. And so those things had a remarkable impact on the journey, and I believe during the 20 years that we've been at church, there have been times that we've had to come together and pray until God changed some things in some people's life, until cancer broke off of some people, till individuals were healed. And that very much had been a part of my process, and not one time, because less than a year later, after Moody had positioned himself in that way and God healed my body and I was able to come back to school to continue to work on my master's at Moody. Less than a year later, I was finding myself in that same place needing to have another brain surgery. Actually the outcome of that was even more intensified than the first. Now, again, Overseer gives the details of those kinds of things, but was even more intensified
and yet the intensity of the situation of the surgery and of the sickness, they met the intensity of worldwide prayer that began to go up on my behalf, which is why I definitely embrace the ecumenical. I am a kingdom citizen. I'm sure I have global citizenship here because I've seen nations, individuals from around the world come together to become prayer for healing in my body. And so I believe that in ministry, as a church, as a church and as a ministry, the impact that is very foundational to who we are. It may not be what people see. It may not be what people see, but it is without a doubt who we are. And so I definitely have come to appreciate that. Overseer?
Yes, one of the things I am reminded of is what the second brain says. The first one, it was the church that was standing in the gap. It was the kingdom. Actually, it was the kingdom who stood in the gap on your behalf, who stood in prayer or bowed in prayer, who beseeched the Lord, who came in his presence, who was there for every one of the moments that was needed to bring you into wholeness again. And for the second one, it was the world. From your ministry, because they didn't understand it. They didn't know where it was going, and they didn't agree with it. And they weren't in harmony with you. And so in the second one, you were very much in the hands of the world. Or I'll put it this way, God used the world to be the blessing for you. And so what I witnessed then was teams and teams of specialists, doctors, and this is for individual without health insurance, because you were a student, and the teams and teams of doctors trying to intervene in all of the things that kept going wrong and kept attacking you for over a month. And at some point, your temperature, your internal temperature had gone so high that they shared with me that you had first-degree burns on the inside of your body. And it was just baffling them, and they didn't know what to do. But they then became, I'll say, intrigued, and but it was nothing but God moving them to see him in you. And so at some point in Cleveland, a doctor that was from Africa who had gone to Chicago, and this was something that was going on in the medical realm, you know, they're communicating with each other. I don't know how to do it in papers or whatever. And he heard about your case, and he had the solution. So it showed them how God will move worlds of people. He will move worlds of resources, and he will put them at the disposal of a little, I'll call you, African-American young lady of no fame or resources. And yet they did it, and they did it for free, and they did it with such a zeal till it was amazing even to the nurses. And so there was one set of nurses that refused to take their day off. They stayed there. They were so committed. And so
I saw where at one point, you know, it was the church, but then on this point, it was the world. It was people who didn't have a spiritual connection to the apostle, but and she was just, you know, Seanette at that point, and yet they saw God in her, and they were so moved by him in her that it impacted them. And when it came to, obviously, the good end that it did, it was written up in some book somewhere that they were trying to explain to me, which all I wanted, you know, was the resolution and to go home. But after a month, she was able to, and able to in wholeness. And so just how we can't, it's not what we can see. It is so much greater than what we can see. And it is done by God for what is in his knowledge for our life and what he has chosen to do with whatever circumstances come upon us. And so I believe that even in this, it put the people in the religious community, it put them in awe. It closed their mouth. It silenced them because you can't always fight your battles. You can't always give an explanation for why God would have you do something that others feel, you know, you're not supposed to do that. But you know, you're convinced by the many ways that he made it very clear that it was God and God alone, and because of obedience, and that you can't break that, I won't say that spirit, but her resolve to go forth. And so as a result, the second one, though it was infinitely more demanding and painful, period, for the apostle as well as the family, it brought a greater grace to impact the world on behalf of kingdoms. And that was God's plan. And it's just another stone together that fuels the apostle's heart for the ecumenical. And for the reaching out to those that, you know, it's like, well, why are we bothering to do that? Or, you know, just something that it's just the other people maybe, you know, well, whatever. But it's like, oh, no, you don't understand. And it's because that has been placed in her heart. And through the experiences that the Lord has allowed her to navigate through, it has brought her, and has brought you, in his second, third, tenth, but has brought you to that place of in Chicago now, back again, not being, as Auntie said, not broken, just going and forging ahead no matter what.
Okay. The scripture that carried me. I think everybody knows that I'm a Hagiah child. With Psalms 118 and 17, that I shall not die but live, and live so that I can declare the works of the Lord. And I can remember that being the ward in the hospital rooms and doing my confession that I.
Yes.
This may look like it is unto death, but I can't die because I need to be able to live in a way that will declare how wonderful and marvelous the works of the Lord are. And I believe what we do in ministry, again, that is, again, part of the foundation of who we are in ministry, speaking life, love, and liberty, seeking wholeness and restoration into the lives of individual, and then being persuaded that, you know, there will not be one that falls through the gap. We position ourselves over.
Yeah, I just wanted to before you go any further, and it is so what the Katie Pierce just shared, and you are the testimony that he will, you know, he'll revive. He'll put life into that prophecy, that word. That word was on your life, and everybody had counted you out and done, and that's it. But that word that was on the board, what you did, it was written up there just like when they put the nurse's name on that's on duty, this, that. this shift and that shift, and that was up there. And it was so that message of power that the apostle shared with us earlier in the session of how what God, the woman of God, took that word into the room, you know, and she prayed upon that, prayed into the room of the prophet. This is what God has said. And through it all, it is well. Because, and I'll play that song later, it is so. Amen and amen. It is so because God has declared it. And that's what he's sharing with the body now on the 20 years. You know, it is so. He's done it before. And it says he's done it before. He'll do it again. And if he did it in the Bible, and he said, look, no, he did it in the Bible, but he did it with one right here in the midst of you. He did that. And she is living proof. You know, they got a billboard that says there is evidence for God. She is you are living proof that there is evidence for the miracles of God. And we have them all throughout the ministry with the baby itself. There is evidence of the miracles of God. And we have what that's the theme this year, because we believe. We must believe this. And this is because we believe. That's where the fire and the passion, and that's where the overcoming comes. Because we believe it is so, and amen.
Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
That's
it.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Again, I believe that's very much a part of who we are, what we have become, and what we do in ministry. And so as we find ourselves here, I understand that the prophetic word that went forth opening this up was about the prophetic word, not dying. And yet it was a series of prophetic words that actually one of them originated at the Step of Faith conference that we'll be celebrating on Saturday that I would pastor. And that God was calling me out and preparing me to come and do this now. Once I was done with Moody, I was ready, packed, saying goodbye, and preparing to relocate to Baltimore. I know where I was going. I didn't know how, but I was leaving. And in sharing that with the family, different individuals began to share how Holy Spirit was leading them to come here. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. You guys have fun there because I'm on my way to Baltimore. I want to go live in Baltimore. That's where I'm headed. And so obviously 25 or so years later, I'm still in Chicago. I haven't made it to Baltimore yet. However, but just even in that real life, being in a place where we allow the Lord's plan to go ahead of our preference. It was not my preference to be here. You couldn't tell me that the Lord didn't want me to go to Baltimore. But the reality of it is that he was positioning me to stay here. And a series of prophetic words led individuals to relocate from Cleveland to Chicago based on prophetic words that they had received. And some of those people are either here right now or on the line. I don't know if they want to share one way or the other, but it's a word. Mm-hmm. It was a prophetic word that brought them here to Illinois. And so sometimes I think we have an inclination to move with people or because of people, but that will never sustain us to be able to stay. The Bible says, except the Lord build a house. Unless we hear him say move, or him say stay, or him say go, and him being the Lord, it won't last. And so I didn't know whether Pastor Marlette, who's in that room, or overseer, wanted to share anything.
Okay. Pastor
Marlette?
Yes. I didn't know if you
wanted
to share.
No.
Okay. Well, thank you. You know, and for me, Lord have mercy. I had just graduated college. I had gone back, and I had gotten a very good job, and my house was like 5 years from being paid for, and my job was opening, moving the headquarters to Chicago, and they did an assessment, and they got the team that they were going to relocate to Chicago. I wasn't a part of that team, and I didn't mind because I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to go anywhere. I was set, you know, in my mind. Everything was going to be taken care of. I was almost 45 years old. So it's like, oh, this will be a piece of cake from this point on. After they picked their team and the team was getting ready, and I was sitting at my desk, and the Lord said, tell them you're going. And I'm thinking, excuse me? You know, going where? You know. And I didn't say anything. I just kept working, you know. And then the Lord started dealing with me that I was to move to Chicago. Well, at that point, Pastor didn't know. I didn't know what she was going to do. I thought she was going to Baltimore. And I just couldn't understand. It just didn't make sense to me. Why would I go now? You know, I could have went before while she was there. But, you know, we questioned and whatever. And it became a very, very dark time for me because I just could not see uprooting myself and coming here to Chicago. Matthew was about 3 years old. I have this grandson. Oh, my goodness, that was just my heart. We were having marvelous times of growth and development, if you will. And you're telling me I have to leave that and give it up? But I did, and I had to. And I, you know, questioned God, and what he gave me was the scripture, he would make all grace abound, that I would have all sufficiency in all things unto every good work. And he gave me that scripture, and I started saying it and thinking about it, and he's like, well, so do you trust me? It's like, yes, well, I know I trust you. However, it looks bad. That was my thought. For me going to, that looks bad. Some things were going on and some other people were going, and it just won't look right. People won't understand, and they'll think I'm crazy. And he said, and I'll make all grace abound. So I just make a long story short, you know, it's like, yes, Lord, okay. He said, but now you tell your job. So I went in and I told my job, oh, it's because I had quit. And my boss said, well, Aho, and she was a Jewish woman who had married a priest, and she was a very difficult woman. And so she said, well, you can come, but you won't work for us. I said, I know. I'm coming, and I am not working for you. And I am, you know, I'm giving my notice. And she couldn't understand that. She said, well, you pick your last checkup. And when I went to pick my checkup, and she said, well, now, she made some kind of really smart, you know, sarcastic comment, and I told her no, you know, I needed to check, and that was it. I was done, and goodbye. And when I walked away, you know, I kept thinking, you know, I could have negotiated something or something, because I have no job, and I had that one last check. And it just became such a move of faith that every time, and more than faith, it says, you know, it says if you look back, you're not worthy. And it was very hard for me not to look back because my grandson was there. And he started really acting out very, very badly. And I would go every weekend, I would go back to visit. And I ran into his nursing school teacher, and she said, oh, you're his problem, you know, when they were introducing me as his grandmother. And that just broke my heart. And he had gotten so bad, and they said because he missed me and our relationship. So you always say when you cry out to the Lord, he hears you. And so he started giving me things to do in the long-distance relationship that caused Matthew to, oh, he loved it. He got so excited about getting mail and getting different things that the Lord would have me send, tapes and books that I'd read on tape, and we would still have our, you know, story time and whatever. And that was so exciting to him. That was like a whole nother world. And every time I would go and come back on the way back, I would cry all the way back. So it's a 6-hour drive, Cleveland to Chicago. but the whole time because my heart was breaking. But God knew and he saw. And I shared with the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm in the field of accounting. And I think I shared this with other people. And I said, you want me to go? And that was one of the comments that this the CEO had said to me. You'll never find a position here. And I understood that Chicago was a financial hub of the world. And they looked for young white male, and I certainly didn't fit the part. And I had 4 strikes, but God told me to come, and I did. And he worked such miracles that people felt I was lying. I thought I was dreaming. But just when you obey God, he makes it work to your good. He truly does. And there is nothing that you could. Then he gave the church the word of he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. And I'm telling you, church,
he does
it in such a way that you sit. I ended up with a corner office in the national headquarters for a company, you know, and handling millions of dollars every day, unsupervised. That was just unheard of. And one time he came and he said, you know, I don't know why, but I stay up and I worry a lot. And that's what the CEO told me. He said, I worry a lot. But your area, I don't even give it a thought. And I knew it was God. You know, and I gave God the credit. Because if God took any moment from me, it was nothing I could do for that company, nothing. And so it's just God will work a miracle when we get his word. And it was his word, because without his word, I couldn't have done it. But with his word, I will make all, and to trust and believe his word, and then step out on it. That very year that I came in here to Chicago, 1995, On New Year's Eve of 1994, New Year's Eve, going into 1995. And my parents, my family were very angry with me. And in 6 months, my dad died. And they said it because I broke his heart, because I came here. And so there are things that will happen, cause you to question. But when you know it's God, he gives you such a peace that really surpasses all understanding. And in that peace, you can argue with people. You can try to convince them that you're right. It won't work. But if he feels and you be silent, you will see the salvation of the Lord. And you will see him save you and deliver you and be the banner over you. And that's what he has done for this family. And in 2 years, from that point, or 1 year maybe, from that point, the Lord fixed it where he allowed my grandson to come here. And they moved to Chicago. And so when you just wait, if you try to do it yourself, you'll mess it up. But if you let him do it, it'll work. It'll work.
Amen. I think it's important that we share this, because we want people to know
yes.
that the Christ Ministry is a faith foundation.
Yeah,
we didn't do this because we had the resources.
Amen.
We didn't do this. It wasn't passed down to us. Every step has been a step of faith. I'm almost certain that we've not had the opportunity to take a step that was not a step of faith. I started off by saying that the existence of the ministry was a release of prophetic, several prophetic words. When we moved originally, Apostle Nina Marie's mother
shared a word. She said, you're going to start pastoring in this place right here, and you're going to hold your first services in this place. She didn't know me.
Mm-hmm.
I was just there giving a house. And she began to prophesy and release a series of prophetic words to us about it. I was at another church doing ministry. That pastor released the word. And I think it's amazing because the Lord knows how to, he knows who he's using, and he'll use who he wants to use. And so even though sometimes people think that they are controlling a situation, we're all just a part of God's plan. He makes it all work for the good. And so the pastor released the word in the church that he was sending me out to pastor. He had another church in mind. He wanted me to go and be a part of this other ministry and help this other pastor. And it was actually just a matter of repositioning me from that ministry, I'll put it that way. Little did he know that God was using his very word that was to set me up. Little did he know God was using that word to bless me, to release me. There is even a way to transition and leave from one place to another. And if you trust God, you don't have to do it. God will divinely escort you to the next place. And so as he did that, and we begin to start, people didn't see it, they didn't agree with it, they didn't want to be a part of it, and yet it is the very life force that they needed. I am reminded as I fast forward for the sake of time, and we can cover it later, but just about how we got to this place that we're at right now. It was being at the one church and that door being closed, and we were looking for a place to host a conference. And at the time, we were actually planning a cruise, a singles cruise. And the travel agent is west on 103rd, and it is west of Western, right there on the north side of the street, and I was on my way to that travel agent to meet with them for this cruise, and I passed this building, and the Lord said, stop and go in and ask about space. I'm thinking, I'm not going to stop. I don't know where I'm at. I have no clue about where I'm at. I'm just trying to get to this travel agent. I have a meeting. He said, stop and go in and ask about space, and I inquired if I could meet the pastor to talk about space to do a conference that we were having. I believe it was the Stir Up the Gift Conference.
Pastor came out.
Not only did Monsignor make the space available to us, gave us more than we could have asked, after hosting that conference here in August, and at that time they had been closed to renting to people that weren't like them there. Monsignor came and asked us, when were we holding church? And I told him, we're holding it in my home. He said, no, we will make space available to you all here. There's a chapel upstairs, and you can just let them know you're up there on Sundays having a meeting. They've not been open or receptive in the past to doing that because of a whole host of other reasons, but I just believe I'm supposed to make this available to you, and I won't charge you.
Mm-hmm.
When we had the conference here in August, 20 years later, we are still here. The first time that we went, we paid them, and then we gave them, we seated them, and the first increase that we had in our rent was the Lord told us to give more because more was coming in. So we actually made the increase of rent. We set that and gave it. And so I share that to say that favor and faith have been foundational tools to who we are in ministry, to who we are as a ministry, to who we are in ministry. And so I just want people to prepare for this faith-favor journey. It is going to take you to places you never thought you were going to go, and it is going to open doors that you would have never believed could be open. The Lord will make those doors do more than open. He will swing them open, and he himself will keep them open until we are in, we have what we need, we have what he sent us there for, and until he's ready for those doors to close. So enjoy the favor and this movement that you are a part of. We celebrate your presence. I believe that great favor is continued to be released upon us because of you all's presence. And so favor is needed for where he intends to take you, and he can trust this house with faith and favor and actually finances. And so as a result, he makes them available because he knows that they will be distributed the way he needs them to be distributed. We will not eat our seed. We will sow our seed.
Amen.
We will take faith, and faith will be the foundation of what we do and who we are. And his favor rests on us because we realize it is of nothing that we could have done or that we do. It is all him. And so God be with me.
Amen. And it's him. I just wanted to share, too, it's him, what he did for us, what he did for me, what he does for us is what he gives us is not for us. So all of that he established, it was so that actually for me to do a ministry out for those that wanted to learn and to give themselves 100% into ministry without caring about their circumstances and daily needs. And so it was the blessing was so that to be a blessing, to open a ministry house, to prepare and give all that you have to God's people so that they can be what God wants them to be. And then to have understand how so important that is. They not have to worry about other things because God is taking care of them. And so however he chooses to use even the ministry, just like when the church gave the other church more money, that church needed it. We were tiny. But we were so blessed. But it had to bless them because they were really in need and are still in need, and we are still being a blessing. And so he blesses us to be a blessing. He gives us the things that we have so that we could give it to the kingdom for the kingdom's glory, for his glory. And it's not for our gain, but it's for the gain of the kingdom.
Okay. Well, thank you for letting us share with you all today, and we will conclude on next Wednesday. And until enjoy the.
We should. If they have any questions or inquiries or things they just wondered about, how did this start? How did that start? Well, question us. So we're here, and we're glad. They say we're transparent, and it is our heart's desire to share. So if there's any concerns that you thought of having as God has given you direction or gives you instruction, any questions that you want to ask the apostle, she's available now.
Amen.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Okay, if not, I do want to play this. It is so. You close out, Apostle.
Amen. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If you believe it, somebody say, it is so. Somebody say it is so.
Caribbean nations, this is for you. Come on, put those hands together.